Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, an early March edition. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-host today, back after a vacation, a holiday, away from the show. Isn't that nice?
A vacation of sorts.
Matt Harrison, good to have you back.
Thank you.
At Explosive Output on Twitter. It's nice to get away and not have to prep for the show and have some free time and all that.
Let's dive back in because the combine just got finished. You were there.
I was there at the combine and got a chance to really get a lot of steam on a lot of guys, which is great.
Okay.
While I was there, I was there for the first half of it where they weren't running as many drills yet. Mm-hmm. But the important stuff isn't the drills. It's all the conversations and the side action and, you know, all the people you talk to and what you glean. That's the best part.
I heard there was a coaching staff that had t-shirts made that said coaches spring break.
It feels that way.
Because I hear the combine's mostly about drills. Drinking.
It is a lot of drinking, man. You will see a lot of that. It's great. The combine is we say it every year. The combine's the best place to go for sort of your unfiltered access to everybody.
It's just because they're all drunk.
They're all drunk, right? They don't care.
The truth serum is
that's
on.
Right. Exactly. The focus of this podcast is the rookie running backs. And Matt, I asked you to come up with the top six rookie running backs.
Yeah.
Next week, myself and Brian Johnson will do the next tier of running backs. You got the great guys.
Well, yeah, I purposely took the easy part.
Yes.
I want to talk about the guys I want to talk about.
I don't blame you. It's a lot more exciting to talk about Jonathan Taylor, for example.
He's my number one. How about you?
He's my number one guy by a fair margin. Now we're going to these top six. I asked you to do the top six. So this we'll discuss them in your order. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin to me is by far the number one. Tell listeners a little bit about Jonathan Taylor.
Well, the impressive part was his 4.3940.
I did not expect that.
No.
Holy cow.
It was number one among running backs and seventh overall at the combine. So he's a pretty quick guy. And if you saw the tape of his 40 where he was running head on, you'll notice that his head did not move. The entire way.
I did not know. I've seen it, but I haven't noticed
that. His body moves like crazy, but his head is laser focused the whole time. Did pretty well at a couple other drills as well. 7.01 three cone, which was number four amongst running backs. That's good for the cuts. 4.24 20-yard shuttle. That was number six for running backs. So that's the highlights there. The dude averaged 2,000 yards a season. Wisconsin.
It's nuts, right?
He averaged 77 broken tackles a year. He's the big, strong, fast back in this draft, and he should be a day one bell cow. I mean, the knocks are that he might not be a passing game stud. He dropped 16% of his catchable passes at Wisconsin, so that's not good. And the other knock, I guess, is he had 926 carries in 3 years.
Well, that's legitimate. Oh, you know, over 900 touches in 3 years is a lot.
He also fumbled 18 times in 3 years. So
it's funny. The stat I read was 15 times, but either way, that's a lot of fumbles.
I think he lost 15, but
that's probably
fumbled 18.
Yeah, that's probably it.
The Wisconsin offensive line was elite. They opened huge holes for him, and you saw it on tape, so he mostly was running downhill. His highlight reel is mostly line opens up, he runs for 60 yards and a touchdown, almost untouched half the time. He's getting really good comps, though. Nick Chubb, DeMarco Murray, who you'll remember had some great years, Darren McFadden. I thought when I watched it, a little bit of shades of Adrian Peterson as he's big. Mm-hmm. He goes right up the middle and he's deceptively quick. I always thought that about Adrian Peterson, that next level speed. You didn't quite expect it out of a bruising running back.
Yeah,
and I think
size,
Jonathan Taylor is very similar to that. So he's probably my number one running back and maybe my number one pick in a rookie draft right now.
I think there's no doubt he's the top pick in a rookie draft.
I mean,
right?
there's people who can make an argument for DeAndre Swift.
And we'll talk about him in just a second. I think you hit on all the key things with Jonathan Taylor. It's just for a guy as physical and well-built as he is, he should not be that fast, and he should not have the lateral movement that he's got. And that's that part makes him really special. He's not a pile mover,
he never had to move a pile.
Well, not often. I think you raise a good point about the offensive line, which is legit. But he also made a lot of his own yards.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to say he's just a product of that line.
So
at all.
The worry I have is, what if he ends up in a place with a terrible offensive line? Like, what if he's an early second round pick to one of those just terribly bad teams up at the front of the draft? Sure. That's where I'm nervous. I would love to see him go at the tail end of the first round, where he's going to an established playoff team that already has the ability to block for people, and he can come in and be a day one starter there.
Yeah, I think you're not giving him enough credit for being a productive back on his own.
I ranked him in my dynasty rankings. I have him as the 7th rated running back in the league right now.
Okay.
So it without landing spot. So yeah. I think he's top 10 for sure right now.
Potential bottom of the first round spots for him. If Tennessee doesn't go with Derrick Henry, they could go right to Jonathan Taylor.
You know what? They probably should let Derrick Henry walk, have him spend save that money.
Right.
And then go ahead and get Jonathan Taylor.
It would make some sense. How about Miami at 26? You know, it's not a great landing spot for him, but it's a plausible one.
It's a very plausible one because they pick early in the second round too. Mm-hmm. And Miami's got the 3 first round picks.
Right.
Obviously they're probably going to take a quarterback in this draft.
They won a couple too many games. Yeah. I think Tua's going to go number 2 overall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was some of the big buzz at the combine.
There's no competition for Taylor if he ends up in Miami though. That's the fantastic part.
That would be the best.
Absolutely no competition.
He'll be a bell cow wherever he goes, I think. All right, let's go to your second ranked running back, DeAndre Swift. Tell listeners about him.
Swift, much smaller, 5'8", 212, 4'4", 40. That was six among running backs. That was pretty good.
Yep.
Didn't do a lot of the other tests. He did the vert. He did the broad jump. He finished average in those. But Swift stole carries as a true freshman from the Sony Chubb backfield in Georgia.
Says a lot.
That says something. 7.6 yards per carry, 4.4 yards after contact. And the thing that you got to like about DeAndre Swift, especially if you're in a PPR league, and increasingly more people are, 73 catches in college and only 3 drops in 3 years.
That's great.
None of them in 2019.
Wow.
So he should compete for 3 down work a lot. He's not as big as some of the other backs in this class, but he's compact. He's muscular. He's probably the first running back taken in the draft, I would say.
You think so?
In the actual draft. I think he'll probably go ahead of Taylor.
That could be. If people feel like schematically he's a better fit for what they want to do.
Sure. I think especially if there's a team that, say, has another running back that they like and is going to get touches. Mm-hmm. I think DeAndre Swift is a guy who probably in his first year will probably split carries a little bit more, maybe be the 60-40 back.
Yeah.
On tape, he looks so much quicker than Jonathan Taylor, but that's mostly due to his cuts. His shiftiness is absolutely elite.
It's unbelievable.
He looks like Dalvin Cook when he runs. Like, that's my comp for him, and I've seen a couple other people say Dalvin Cook. Also, Frank Gore and Pierre Thomas was bandied about for DeAndre Swift, but he looks like Dalvin Cook right now, and I think that's a pretty elite guy to get into your offense.
Dalvin Cook is elusive, and he's got shiftiness. Mm-hmm. Swift is got some is at a whole other level that way, and I don't think he's the same kind of patient runner that Dalvin Cook is, but. Just the shattered ankles on that he leaves behind these defenders. It's ridiculous. And
jock straps all over the field.
Exactly. I think DeAndre Swift has got enough size to be an every down back. And a lot of times with these elusive guys, these shifty guys, they're smaller backs that don't have the ability to be 20 carry guys.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift does.
Yeah, I think he does.
I do too. Now, there are some knocks on him here. Pass protection is not great. He's not a pile mover. That's not his bit. If you get your arms on him, if you can get your arms on DeAndre Swift, he's probably going to be tackled.
It's tough to get your arms on him.
That is the catch. And then he doesn't have the breakaway speed that Jonathan Taylor's got. I mean, if Jonathan Taylor with his 4.39 speed, if he gets into open space, he's
absolutely
gone. Now you got a real problem. I think you're right about where he will end up going as well. I think is going to be end of the first round, beginning of the second round.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in that range would probably make some sense. Washington at the top of round two is a possibility with all the running back woes they've had.
They got Darius Geis, who they say they still love, and they just let Adrian Peterson come back for another year. They guaranteed his contract for one more year.
Yeah, why not?
For Ron Rivera, who really, for what he's worth, he kind of doesn't commit fully to one running back. He played a lot of two running backs in Carolina in the past. He had Christian McCaffrey, obviously, and that kind of forced his hand recently. But, man, Washington would be a weird spot.
Lions.
What about Detroit? That's what I was going to mention.
They haven't been able to get a healthy production out of Kerryon Johnson. That might be a spot as well. And then back to Miami again. Miami could end up being another team that's in play with
the
fifth pick of the second round.
Another interesting landing spot, I think the Chargers pick near the top of the second round as well, in the top 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. But Austin Eckler's so good.
Austin Eckler is good, but Austin Eckler has been a part of a shared backfield, and if that philosophy doesn't change and Melvin Gordon's going to be shipped out, it would not surprise me if DeAndre Swift is the next guy, just the next man up there.
I think Justin Jackson's going to be, he's one of my favorite sleepers. I think he's going to be the other man. We'll find
maybe.
Out. Okay, let's go to your number three running back, Cam Akers from Florida State. Tell people about Cam.
So Cam Akers, 5'10", 227. Notably, Jonathan Taylor, 5'10", 226. Mm. So Cam Akers, another big back. He ran a 4.47. That's good.
That's good.
Number five amongst running backs. His tests at the combine were just pretty good overall. That really helped his stock, I think.
And by the way, that's how I see Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Pretty good overall.
Yeah.
To me, he's not on the plane of Taylor and Swift. I see a guy when I watch Cam Akers who looks good at almost everything and excellent at nothing.
That's kind of what I had with him as well. He has all the tools to be a three down back, but he's just kind of average with the hands, average with the elusiveness, a little bit above average with the speed. But frankly, he played behind a pretty bad offensive line at Florida State. He still topped 1,000 yards in two of his three seasons, had 5.0 yards per carry last year. Most of that was just him. He broke Dalvin's freshman record for running back yards at Florida State.
Yeah.
He was a high school quarterback as well. He can throw. I saw a couple of trick plays that he was involved in. That was pretty cool.
When you see his physique, you don't ever think that guy was a quarterback.
Yeah.
He is powerfully built.
His comps aren't great. Duke Johnson, Terrence West, Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson was generous in my mind.
I don't see it at all.
But I mean, I feel,
or the Duke Johnson. I don't see either of the Johnsons. And how would those two ever even be in the same comp?
Let's say that Cam Akers ends up in a good situation. Let's say he's an end of the second round or maybe middle of the third round kind of guy.
Which ends
up in a good spot. Maybe he ends up...
Atlanta,
where he could be a bell cow right away.
He could.
Or maybe Kansas City is in the market for a running back and they're not fully enthusiastic about Damian Williams. If he ends up in the right spot, I think that he can be a really big fantasy contributor right away. That's why I have him at number three. I think he's got all the tools to be good. It just is. It's going to be very landing spot dependent with him.
For Cam Akers, strong, powerful back who welcomes contact. He might be the straight up toughest back in this rookie class. And for those kind of guys, goal line work will never be a question.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I like about Cam Akers is whatever team that he finishes on, he should be the goal line guy. Now, he did have some fumbling issues at school, and it, you know, God forbid he fumbles at the stripe or something. But I still think he's going to be a fantasy contributor because of the power that he will bring.
You know, he'll probably end up on the Patriots.
Let's hope not. Where you never want to be the first guy to fumble.
Yep.
With the Patriots, that is a that'll be a season ender if you're not careful.
Absolutely.
All right, your number four back is J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. Let's talk about him.
Dobbins only did one test at the combine. That was the bench press.
Right, he had the ankle injury.
He did 23 on the bench, which was number five amongst
good.
The running
That's
backs.
A lot.
So he gets the comparisons to the strong backs like Eddie George mm-hmm. and Ezekiel Elliott, mm-hmm. who both went to Ohio State. And
by the way, he outran them.
Yeah, he beat their single season rushing records at Ohio State.
You know, that's pretty impressive when you outrun Eddie George and Ezekiel Elliott at school.
Yeah,
holy cow.
He's a pretty compact bruiser, good acceleration. He's really a one cut runner, but a pretty reliable pass catcher, and it makes him a good third down option, even if he ends up on a roster with an established running back. Doesn't have like an arsenal of really different stop start moves. He just kind of has the one cut and mm-hmm. he goes. But his cuts were good in college.
Very good.
His first cut specifically behind the line mm-hmm. on like counter plays was absolutely awesome. He had people moving one way. He's showing up on the other side of the field all of a sudden. It looked like he was playing Portal or something along those lines. Comps of Muscle Hamster, Josh Jacobs, and a Paul Charchian favorite, Ryan Matthews.
Oh, I like that. Ryan Matthews in the rare moments of health. That's pretty good. I think he's the cutting is amazing for him. And laterally, you know, if we can get him on a team that likes to run zone blocking with stretch plays, mm-hmm. oh man, I really like Dobbins as a lateral runner.
He's
who
not
waits,
have...
waits, and then makes that cut yep. and accelerates.
Yeah, it's going to be one cut though. It's not like the super deeks like DeAndre Swift has, where he'll stop start, make two or three cuts, and then be out of there. He'll be, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to mm-hmm. cut you out of your jock strap and then I'm gone.
I think he's got a little more Dalvin Cook to him than others.
Okay.
So for me, that was my comp and Mark Ingram as well. J.K. Dobbins is somebody that I think it depends a lot on the landing spot where like Jonathan Taylor, I think he can go anywhere and mm-hmm. be productive. I want to see Dobbins running behind a zone blocking offense. So we'll see where he lands.
You want to see him in Minnesota?
Well, they got a really good runner.
Maybe Denver
for a while. Dalvin Cook. We'll find
Houston?
Out. Houston. Yeah,
Houston would be a very interesting
that would
landing
be,
spot.
Oh,
for,
I'd like. I
for
like
Dobbins.
The sound of that. That would be great. Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the final couple of running backs that we want to touch on for our rookies, including Zach Moss and Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming up next. All right, welcome back. Paul Charchian, Matt Harrison with you. We're talking rookie running backs, landing spots, what we like about these guys. This is our top six. We've already covered Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift. This is your number one, two, mm-hmm. and three guys so far. And Cam Akers. Oh, and J.K. Dobbins. We've got our top four.
We did our top four. By the way,
yeah.
At some point throughout Fantasy Football Weekly, I'm going to call Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement.
That's okay.
It's going to happen. I'm just going to refer to him as Thomas one time because I can't get it out of my brain.
And now you've got it in my brain. So what has he been doing?
Nothing. I mean, Jonathan, absolutely nothing.
I'm gonna search him out. Taylor Dash, right? He was a dash.
I don't think he was a dash.
Taylor Thomas, Jonathan Taylor. You're right. No dash. let's see what he's been up to.
He was, you know, big and popular on the Teen Beat magazines when.
Not
in the 90s.
The answer is not a lot.
Yeah.
Now
he kind of quit acting.
I think he did quit acting. He did not act for 10 years.
Yeah.
His last acting role was 2006, and then nothing until 2013 to 2015 when he was on Last Man Standing.
The other Tim Allen show.
The other Tim Allen show. So, okay. Yeah. How about that? I wonder if. You know, a lot of kids, they go through all the, you know, the kid,
the child actor stuff. Right? Yeah.
And you just get away. I wonder what he's doing, where he's living. Where is Jonathan Taylor Thomas today?
Well, he's not in the draft. That's for sure. Cause it's just Jonathan Taylor.
That's a good point.
I'm going to call him
He's not the same guy, for sure. Did you know he was of Dutch and Portuguese ancestry?
No,
I bet you didn't.
I mean, why would Taylor you? Thomas
doesn't
sounds,
sound like it.
Sounds very Portuguese to me.
Right. Let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
That
from
sounds
LSU.
More Portuguese.
It does, actually. It sounds French to me. I assume that, you know, because he was from New Orleans, mm-hmm. played at LSU, that Helaire is some Frenchy, you know, Cajun sort of name. But I don't know.
I'm just going to end up calling him Clyde.
How about Frenchy?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
The Raging Cajun?
That. Maybe it's going to be the case. Here, the bit on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's 5'7".
He's little.
He's little. He is short.
207.
Compact. Yeah, he is 207. Yep. So he's got some meat on the bone. Mm-hmm. He's not fragile. My comp is Maurice Jones-Drew.
That was one of them I had. Okay. Ray Rice and Devontae Freeman.
I could see a little Ray Rice
were
in
the
there.
Others. He ran a 4.640. That was 17th among running backs.
Yeah, and that part was a little disappointing.
That's probably got him moving down a lot of draft slots. But here's the deal. 39.5-inch vert.
Yeah.
The dude can jump. His mm-hmm. vert was number 4 among running backs.
For a little guy, seven.
That
yes.
dude can dunk.
Yeah, how about that?
he's thick, compact. He's more quick than fast. His mm-hmm. cuts are elite. Very, very elusive. Has to be one of the smaller backs in the draft. Forced 84 missed tackles in his final year at LSU.
Yeah.
Gained 782 yards after contact, according to Pro Football Focus. True three down back with above average pass catching ability, good ball security. On tape, he's not the elite burner that will break off long runs. He's going to get caught in the open field by some fast corners. But he's tough to catch, and he'll turn 4 yards into 10 or 11. I think that's kind of his game. And we said what the comps were, and I think that those are the kind of runners that that did that kind of thing in their career.
Yeah, and by the way, fantasy productive guys, all of them fantasy productive. And he can be, too. I don't know at 5'7" that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be a workhorse back. Now, Maurice Jones-Drew was, mm-hmm. Devonta Freeman was. It can happen.
It's going to be a landing spot dependent.
I think
on
it
him.
Is.
Like, and where his draft stock is probably now, mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's probably maybe an early third day pick or a very late second day pick.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, man, he could really end up on any team in the NFL. And if he ends up on the wrong one, that would be scary if he ends up in a great situation. Maybe he's the guy who ends up in Miami with all of their picks.
Yeah, that could be.
And that would be a pretty nice spot.
What I like about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and there are a lot of things to like, the tackle breaking, you mentioned the yards after contact. He is, because he's small and compact, it's hard to get a good shot on that guy.
It's easy to hide him.
It is easy to hide him as well. I think there's something to be said about that. He's running behind linemen that are a foot taller than him.
Yeah.
And I just the balance you met. He's got good cutting ability, which you meant to spend the footwork. The footwork to me is the defining ability of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is able to get. He's got the short, choppy steps that allows him to turn quickly. He's really good in crowded environments, and then he's chop, chop, chop. And now mm-hmm. he's out, and he's got daylight. And the guy's good. Now, he can catch a little bit. He was a kick returner in LSU. He's super versatile. He's going to be fascinating to watch. I think the 4.640 time, I suspect he'll improve upon in his pro day a little bit, and maybe that
maybe.
Will get him back to an earlier draft spot, but
I saw a couple of breakaway runs where, you know, a really fast running back gets away and scores the touchdown, but he was caught a handful of times in these runs. And, mm-hmm. and that's the only real knock I have on him is he's not very big and he's not the burniest of burners.
He's not the burniest of burners.
He's not like Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Or Bernie Sanders.
No.
Or whatever Garth Brooks wears as a jersey.
Yeah, exactly. I hope he doesn't have Bernie Sanders speed. Catch him from behind. Joe Biden is catching him from behind right now.
Wow.
Yeah. They're a little topical.
Come for the
for
Fantasy
you, right?
Football Weekly. Stay for the political commentary.
There you go. The final running back we're going to break down in this episode, Zach Moss from Utah. He's 5'9", 223 pounds. He is a bigger, mm-hmm. beefier, straight-ahead runner. Talk to me about Zach Moss.
So we talked about a couple of bigger, beefier, straight-ahead runners, as in Jonathan Taylor and Cam Akers, who were both pretty similar size to Moss. they ran good 40s. Zach Moss did not.
No.
4.65. His other stuff, his other tests at the combine weren't particularly elite as well, average at best. Mm-hmm. However, per Pro Football Focus, his yards after contact per attempt increased from 3.5 in 2018 to 4.4 in 2019. Yeah. So he's grown. He's gotten better. I saw a quote on Twitter that Moss's quads would impress Saquon Barkley. his speed, obviously not top end, but he runs aggressively. He tosses aside runners. So but he's been so aggressive that he needed meniscus surgery in 2018. I honestly didn't think most of his highlight reel tape was that impressive. It seems like he was able to overpower some lesser competition for Utah. Mm-hmm. But he has comps of Marshawn Lynch, Marion Barber, and Kareem Hunt.
What? That's a terrible comp.
I don't know if I agree with the Kareem Hunt thing. Hunt is much faster.
Can I give you my comp?
Yeah.
Latavius Murray. Straight ahead, north-south runner.
Absolutely.
Because Zach Moss has no lateral speed whatsoever, and he needs to run north-south, and that's, I think Latavius Murray's the guy that I'm watching him going, that I've seen that guy.
You know what? I'm going to add one in. Okay. Leroy Horde.
Leroy Horde.
You want one? I'll get you three. You want five? I'll get you three.
Right. yeah, maybe that's more Zach Moss right there is I didn't love him. I think he's got to be on a team that has a powerful offensive line, straight ahead, bulldozing offensive line that's going to open up holes for him to get through. And then I think he's got a little bit of wiggle. He welcomes contact. He can break some tackles at the second level. I think he needs to be. He needs to have just the right fit, or I'm not interested in Zach Moss.
It would be interesting to see Moss. I think he's a split backfield kind of runner, where he's going to end up in a spot with a guy who can be the pass catcher and the elusive back. Maybe he's somewhere like Cincinnati or something like that, where they have Joe Mixon, and Zach Moss is the second running back to come in and spell him and just give a little bit of different flavor to that offense.
I wouldn't be surprised if Zach Moss finds himself not as a bell cow, but in some kind of a timeshare.
He's in a timeshare. And frankly, there's not a lot of running backs in the rest of this draft. I mean, I really like those top five. When I got to six and I was ranking them, I was like, who's next? And I think Moss is the best of them. I see him ranked in the top 50 in some overall prospect lists. I'm not seeing it either. And I think he's destined to be a split backfield timeshare kind of a back.
So if you think this draft is five guys deep, Matt, that means you really jammed up Brian Johnson and I for next week.
Sorry.
We're going to do the next six guys.
But you know what Brian is great at? Brian is great at uncovering these diamonds in the rough. He always finds two or three guys that really are way off my radar. And he goes, no, check this dude out. This guy's really good. And he's absolutely great at that.
You know, at this time, four years ago, Kareem Hunt was not in anybody's top five or six. And, you know, but eventually we got around to looking at Toledo tape.
Yep.
And we're like, wow. And, you know, by the time the draft rolls around, you got a whole different opinion.
Well, so Philip Lindsay is a guy like that too, where he wasn't on anybody's radar at all. Not undrafted. We went into the season not even talking about him. And then week one, boom. Hey, Philip Lindsay.
Won me a fantasy, couple of fantasy leagues after week one.
Absolutely.
One of the best week one pickups in recent memory. All right, thanks for introducing a lot of our listeners to the top six rookie running backs. And frankly, I don't have a problem with the order you got him. I expected to do battle with you on the order, but I think you got the order right. Jonathan Taylor's just, if the wear and tear isn't too much for him, the 900 touches in 3 years, man, he's going to be special. The question, I think, for Dynasty and Empire owners is going to be, are you going to get four good years out of him, five, six, two. When do all the carries catch up with the rookie contract runs out?
That's when I'm starting to shop, guys.
Yeah, four years.
Yeah, that's really it. I was going to ask you, Charge. We're in a Empire League together, where we draft rookies, and it's a super flex league. In a super flex league, right now, if you had the first overall pick, and if you have the first overall pick, obviously your team has some needs, probably lots. Running back, wide receiver, and quarterback. Who are you taking number one?
I'm still taking probably Taylor maybe Swift. I'm not going, even in Superflex, I'm not going Joe Burrow yet.
Okay.
I think you can still find quarterback help later. And so for me, I wouldn't take Joe Burrow in the top two for sure at this point.
I think it's going to be one of the deepest wide receiver classes in years too. Yeah. And both Jerry Judy and CeeDee Lamb, I think I like Lamb better. I do too. I think both of those guys are going to be in the conversation as the number one overall rookie pick as well.
It's a great year to be in a dynasty or empire rookie draft. It's a great year to be in the middle of the first round.
Absolutely.
You're going to get better guys in the middle of the first round than we got at the beginning of the first round last year.
I don't mind trading some of the draft picks that you have next year to get into the first round this year either. Yeah.
Let's make some hay on some of these.
Right? I think the value is only going up.
The value is only going up. I tend to agree with you on that. We'll do more Empire Dynasty strategy talk throughout the course of the preseason.
Yeah, I heard you and Scotty doing it the other day.
Yeah, we're Scott Fish is a frequent co-host of mine as well here, as listeners know. Great job. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to everybody next week. We'll have more rookie running back chatter with Brian Johnson. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.